The talk today is entitled, The Marvelous Unity of the Divine and Human. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Oh God, what a beautiful revelation you've given us. You're saying to us that you, the mighty, powerful, loving God, is willing to live in us and bring about a unity between the divine and the human. This passes our understanding. This is too much. How are you willing to live in us, weak, rebellious, sinful people? But what a beautiful promise, Lord. We invite you now to come and live in us, to reign in us, so that all things become possible for us. Wherever we live, whatever we do, laymen or preachers, men or women or children. Thank you for this tremendous, breathtaking revelation of the unity that you desire with us. In Jesus' beautiful, powerful name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, the whole universe was surprised and excited when they heard that God, the Creator, was going to become a human being and become united with a rebellious race forever. They had heard about this plan earlier, but when it became reality, they were deeply shocked. John 1:1-3 and 14, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God the Father. And the Word was God, meaning Christ is just as much God as the Father. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. That means through Christ. Everything was created. The entire universe with its 15 billion galaxies. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And in Him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome or understood it. Verse 14. The Word became flesh. Christ became a human being. And lived for a while among us. We have seen His glory. The glory of the one and only Son. Who came from the Father. Full of grace and truth. Yes, the Son of God was perfect God and perfect man. Jesus Christ became poor that we may become rich. He took our curse on Himself that His blessing may fall on us. He accepted our ignominy that we may receive His glory. He became sin for us that we may become the righteousness of God through Christ. He humbled Himself to the lowest point by going into second death, that He may exalt us to the highest heaven. Desire of Ages 26. Heaven is enshrined in humanity, and humanity is enfolded in the bosom of infinite love. By love's self-sacrifice, the inhabitants of earth and heaven are bound to their Creator in bonds of indissoluble union. 5 Testimonies 47. After this union is formed, it can be preserved only by continual, earnest, painstaking effort. Steps to Christ, 73. The power of the love of Christ wrought a transformation of character. This is the sure result of union with Jesus Christ. When Christ abides in the heart, the whole nature is transformed. Sons and daughters, 22. That Christ should take human nature and by a life of humiliation elevate man in the scale of moral worth with God, that He should carry His adopted nature to the throne of God and there present His children to the Father to have conferred upon them an honor exceeding that conferred upon the angels. This is the marvel of the heavenly universe, the mystery into which angels desire to look. This is love that melts the sinner's heart. 7 Testimony 49. Christ died that the life of man might be bound up with his life in the union of divinity and humanity. He came to our world and lived the divine human life. 5 Bible Commentaries, 1130. Divinity and humanity were mysteriously combined, and man and God became one. It is in this union that we find the hope of our fallen race. Looking upon Christ in humanity, we look upon God and see in Him the brightness of His glory. Oh, dear friend, the Bible, with its God-given truth expressed in the language of men, presents a union of the divine and the human. Such union existed in the nature of Christ, who was the Son of God and the Son of Man. Thus, it is true of the Bible, as it was of Christ, that the Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. This union that was in Christ, you can also find in the Bible. First Selected Messages 4:16. When God's Word is studied, comprehended, and obeyed, a bright light will be reflected to the world. New truth, received and acted upon, will bind us in strong bonds to Jesus. The Bible and the Bible alone is to be our creed, the sole bond of union. All who bow to this holy Word will be in harmony. 5 Testimonies 49. Advancement in Christian experience is characterized by increasing humility as the result of increasing knowledge. Everyone who is united to Christ will depart from all iniquity. I tell you, in the fear of God, I've been shown that many of you will fail of everlasting life because you're building your hopes of heaven on a false foundation. You have neglected the Scriptures. You despise and reject the testimonies. But there is a third case where the divine is amalgamated with the human. It is the newborn man. John 3:5. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. Unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This means that two births are necessary. John 1:12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. Galatians 6:15, for neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. 5 Testimonies 47, a union of believers with Christ will as a natural result lead to a union with one another, which bond of union is the most enduring upon earth. We are one in Christ, as Christ is one with the Father. It is only by personal union with Christ, by communion with Him daily, hourly, that we can bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Acts of the Apostles 85. What was the strength of those who in the past have suffered persecution for Christ's sake? It was union with God, union with the Holy Spirit, union with Jesus Christ. Christ's Object Lesson 384. We cannot come in touch with divinity without coming in touch with humanity. For in Him who sits upon the throne of the universe, divinity and humanity are combined. Connected with Christ, we are connected with our fellow man by the golden links of the chain of love. And this is the unity that I see in our churches right across the world where I preach. It's a miracle of God. Patriarchs and Prophets 330. It testifies that the closer our communion with God and the clearer our knowledge of His requirements, the more fully shall we be conformed to the divine image, and the more readily do we become partakers of the divine nature. Desire of Ages 123. Christ's humanity was united with divinity. He was fitted for the conflict by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and He came to make us partakers of the divine nature. So long as we are united to Him by faith, sin has no dominion over us. God reaches for the hand of faith in us to direct it, to lay fast hold upon the divinity of Christ, that we may attain to perfection of character. What pleases God? Galatians 1:15 and 16. But when He who had set me apart before I was born and had called me through His grace was pleased to reveal His Son in me, in other words, within me, in order that I might preach Him among the Gentiles. What is the secret plan of God? In Colossians 1:26 and 27, Paul wrote, I became a minister according to the divine office which was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now made manifest to His saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, meaning the secret, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yes, Jesus Christ became as we are, so that we may become as He is. This is the purpose of the gospel and redemption. Romans 8:29. For those whom God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Or the Amplified Bible says, For those God foreknew, of whom He was aware and loved beforehand, He also destined from the beginning to be molded into the image of His Son and share inwardly His likeness, that He might become the firstborn among many brethren. Or take Galatians 4:19. My little children, for whom I'm again in travail or again suffering birth pangs until Christ is completely and permanently formed and molded within you. A union between the Creator and His creatures. A union between God the Creator and those who rebelled against Him was an unheard thing in the universe until the plan of redemption and salvation was announced by God in the Garden of Eden. This idea became the very essence of the plan of redemption. And the Bible illustrates it many different ways. For instance, Christ's flesh and blood. In John 6:54 to 56. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, abides in me, and I in him. Or take bread and wine. In Matthew 26:26 to 28. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it. All of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Or take the marriage relationship in Ephesians 5:31 and 32. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. This is a great mystery. I take it to mean Christ and the church. Or take the example of the body and its members in 1 Corinthians 12:27. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body are one body, so it is with Christ. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. Or the head and the body, Ephesians 1:22-23. And God the Father has put all things under Christ's feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now the precondition of this union with God is that we admit that left by ourselves without being in Christ, we are lost forever. That we cannot go to heaven while holding on to our old sinful nature. We can only go to hell that way. This recognition leads us to an acceptance of Jesus Christ, moment by moment, as Savior and Lord. And an hourly, a continuous surrender of the control of our lives to the Holy Spirit. As a result, we are willing to die to self hourly. Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, that's the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Holy Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Well, let us hear again this beautiful key passage in Galatians 2:20, this time in the Amplified Bible. I have been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ, the Messiah, lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. This unity of divinity and humanity in Jesus Christ, this union in the Bible, and the same union in the newborn man or woman, is the result of the gospel. Its final purpose is the salvation of man. This can be accomplished in one way only, if man becomes divine. He becomes like God. Just compare the first Adam with the second Adam. The first Adam, before his fall into sin, wore his own righteousness. He was pure, but untried. The second Adam wore the righteousness of Christ. He was pure. He was tested. He was loyal forever. Oh, dear friends, the only way of salvation is Jesus in us. The Word of God in us. The Holy Spirit in us. We become God's temple. The Trinity in us. Colossians 2:9, for in Christ the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. John 14:23, Jesus answered him, if a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So there will be three thrones in your mind, the throne of the Father, the throne of the Holy Spirit, the throne of Jesus. Thus that godly, obedient person and the Trinity become forever one. Originally, man, in a foolish way, wanted to become like God on his own terms. In Genesis 3:5, Satan said to Eve, God knows that when you eat of the fruit of that tree, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. As a result, man sinned, disobeyed, and fell away from God. Now, to make men like God is the very purpose of the plan of salvation. But not on man's terms, but on God's terms. Redemption is half of the work of God to make man godlike. Glorification is the other half. Jesus Christ accomplished both by being the God-man. To unite ourselves with God is life. to depart from God is death. Hebrews 3:8. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness. Hebrews 3:12. Take care, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. King Saul became united with God. He received the Holy Spirit. He became a prophet. He became a new man. 1 Samuel 10:6. Samuel said to King Saul, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person." However, King Saul slowly, successively departed from God, and he became lost. Hebrews 6:4-6, it says, "For it is impossible to restore again to repentance those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they then commit apostasy, since they crucify the Son of God on their own account and hold Him up to contempt." Oh, dear friends, our relationship, our union with God is the most sacred thing in our life. This union of God and man is clearly set forth in the Old and in the New Testament. God promised it in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers." That meant that God was putting His own Spirit again in man. In Ezekiel 36:26-27, we find God's promise of union between God and man again. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." He will do it when He lives in us. He says so, "I will move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." Hear David's plea in Psalm 51:10-11. "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." This means, do not depart from me, Lord. This close union with man was God's goal for 6,000 years. In every generation, but especially today, in this last generation, with Laodicea, with 144,000. Revelation 14:5. "In their mouth no lie was found, for they are spotless." Revelation 7:9. "After this I looked, and behold a great multitude, which no man could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands." To deny this plan of God means death. Not to unite with God means condemnation. In John 15:5, Jesus said, "I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." 1 John 5:12. "He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God has not life." But remember, it's not enough to possess the Son of God. He must possess you too. 2 Peter 1:3 and 4. "God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, that through these you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of passion and become partakers of the divine nature. Being partakers of the divine nature is the first requisite for candidacy to heaven. What was the condition of the universe after the fall of man into sin? The Trinity and the angels, the unfalling intelligence, were cut off, separated from the fallen angels and from sinful mankind. However, after the cross of Christ, after the judgment, after the destruction in the fires of hell, the Trinity, God's family, redeemed men and women, angels and other unfallen heavenly intelligences will be united forever. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. For God has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of His will, according to His purpose which He set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. Sons and daughters, 293. The union between Christ and His people is to be living, true and unfailing, resembling the union that exists between the Father and the Son. This union is the fruit of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. All true children of God will reveal to the world their union with Christ and with their brethren. Christ brings all true believers into complete oneness with Himself, even the oneness which exists between Him and His Father. The true children of God are bound up with one another and with their Savior. Great Controversy 73. The dependence of the soul upon Christ is as real and its connection with Him must be as close as that of a limb to the body or of a branch to the vine. And that means renunciation of self. Five Testimonies 94. When self-will is renounced in reference to matters, there will be a union of believers with Christ. Friend, have you died to self? Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to put to death your sinful nature? That is the question. And have you now become the throne room, the very temple of the Trinity? If you have not made this decision, make it now, at this very moment, before I close. Kneel down with me and unite with me in prayer. O Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, have mercy on me. Put to death my old sinful nature, the one I've been clinging to, that nature which I loved and pampered so much. Take it away from me. It's destroying me, Lord. And then come and take your residence in my brain. Take over this whole body. Make it your temple. Walk with me. Think through me. Express yourself through me to every human being I come in touch. Oh Lord, bring this unity in my local church, in my conference, in my union, in my division, in the general conference, in the entire world. 5 million Laodiceans united with you and soon welcoming you as you return in the clouds of glory. Let us put away every difference, every criticism, and be united as you are united in the Godhead. Thank you that you're willing to do it and able to do it. In Christ's beautiful, powerful name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. To order CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls, please dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra with outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? Our email address is info@americancassette.org. We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and financial support are important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.